It has been buried for thousands of years. A mystery. A secret. A threshold to the future.
Where'd you find this? I've never seen anything like this.
One man will break the code and open the door.
Well, this should read Stargate. That was in front of us the whole time.
The other will lead the way.
Why are you here?
I'm here in case you succeed.
Jackson's identified the seventh symbol.
Backup storage, reserve power, on.
What is that?
It's your Stargate.
We've opened a doorway to a world we know nothing about.
The beam has locked itself onto a point somewhere in the Kalium galaxy.
It's on the other side of the known universe.
Your turn now.
They prepared for danger.
Begin final evacuation.
They expected the unknown.
Stabilizing system.
Initiated commencement sequence.
But they could never have imagined this.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Rewatchability. I'm J.M. McNabb, joined as always by
Robert Lerone.
And we're joined by a special guest this week. It's our friend Sina Ramani. Hey, Sina.
Hello, folks. It's nice to be back.
The host and editor, curator of The East is a podcast, which you can find on, however you listen to this. I don't know. That's your business. We've got a special episode for you this week. Mm-hmm. We are going to be talking about the 1994 science fiction blockbuster Stargate.
Mm-hmm.
Directed by Roland Emmerich, starring James Spader and Kurt Russell for some reason.
Yep. Wait, Kurt Russell for some reason?
Well, no, I love Kurt Russell, but like I can't imagine like a Hollywood executive being like, we got to find a project for Kurt Russell and James Spader. Got to get those two together. And if a cast member from The Crying Game is around, too, that would be the icing on the cake. Before we get into that big, big movie, exciting to talk about, I do want to thank all of the Patreon donors. You can go to patreon.com/rewatchability and kick in a few bucks. Help us keep the show going. You get the show early and ad-free, and we sure do appreciate it.
Mm-hmm.
But let's get into Stargate, because there's so much to talk about with this movie. Let's start with you, Rob. Do you remember when you first saw this?
Okay, so I have to confess that I didn't see the film Stargate, but hold on, Jam, hold on.
Okay.
I read the novel.
No!
Yes, I did. By the authors. Roland Emmerich and Dean Devlin.
Oh, God.
And I remember it to be, pretty good.
Why?
Yeah, that's a good question. You know, I think it's one of those things that, like...
Was it in hieroglyphics or was it in English? Was it on an ancient tablet?
It was a little bit of both, and then in the middle it had glossy pages with photos of the cast.
Right. There's always like 8 photos in the middle.
Yeah, James Spader and, I don't know where I got it. I was trying to remember. I think maybe, like, my mom picked it up at, like, the secondhand store at the Salvation Army or something like that and was like, you know, Rob likes science-y, fiction-y things, you know. Right. Or, you know, maybe she thought it was, like, a weird, like, Salvation Army religious thing and, you know, it was supposed to, like, I don't know, be good for my soul or something. I don't know.
Right. So you read it. Did you have no interest in seeing the movie? Did you know the movie existed?
Oh, I knew the movie existed. You know, yeah, I didn't need to see the movie. It never really occurred to me to see the movie after reading the book. Like, I got the whole story from that, you know, like, O'Neill has his thing, and then Daniel, he stays on the planet, and that's what you need to know about the Stargate. So, okay. Yeah, I just, you know.
So you liked it?
It was, you know, it was okay. It was, right. You know, it was no Stephen King or, you know, The Wheel of Time, but, it was okay.
Okay, and Sina, when did you first read Stargate? I mean, see Stargate.
I want to admit something, which is I have never seen this movie before until roughly 48 hours ago or 24 hours ago.
I thought we talked about this before.
I've seen like parts of the shows and and we can get into it, but it always struck me as extremely dumb. Mm-hmm. And I was right. I was right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a very stupid movie. It's very
well,
stupid.
Yeah, I think like that's one of the reasons I didn't want to see it either, because the whole like space pharaoh thing seemed dumb, you know?
Okay, well, you guys sit back and relax, because I will tell you about how I saw this movie in the theater when it first came out at the Yorkdale cinema, and I liked it.
Okay,
but I liked it, but I never saw it again. Like, it was one of those things where like me and my friends went, we all had a great time. I think we all enjoyed it, but it like it never caught on. Like, I never saw it a second time until this year, until just now. And I even bought an action figure for this movie.
Wow.
Which I instantly regretted. Like, I think I got, like,
did
I remember
you get the French Stewart action figure?
Yeah.
Or the Richard Kind?
No, it was like one of the like villain's henchmen, like, which I think just looked cool. But I bought it because I thought it looked cool, and I was advertised it on shows I liked, and I was dumb and impressionable, so I bought it, and then I instantly regretted it, and I was like, what am I going to do with this? I'm not going to buy another Stargate figure. Like, I guess this guy will just have to interface with my Ninja Turtles.
Yeah. Get the Robin Hood Prince of Thieves action figures in there.
Which I still have. I found some at my parents' house not long ago.
Do you have Rickman?
Why did you buy those?
I liked that movie when I was a kid. And they were good action figures. They were admittedly cobbled together from a lot of pre-existing toy lines. Like, a lot of, like, everywhere Robin Hood lives or any of his, like, vehicles are all from Ewok sets that were just lying around and, like, repainted or remolded. I don't know why we're talking about this, but Stargate, yeah, it was like one of those things where it was like, it kind of like fooled me and my friends into thinking it was like a big iconic movie, but then like the illusion very quickly wore off and we realized that it was not a good movie, but
it's very dumb, but it's made for kids though. It's obviously made for kids and like a certain kind of brainless movie going experience,
which is that
people who know the truth about ancient aliens,
right?
Which is what Roland Emmerich does. Like, this is his signature. Like, he makes stupid movies for stupid time. Like, that's it. That's his, and he's good at it.
I think he is. Like, Independence Day, like, if that's like your big example of the big stupid movie for the big stupid time, like, it was sort of the perfect movie, you know?
He makes movies that
was definitely more fun than this movie.
When we were kids, like, the movies he made were like perfect, like, event. Like, I remember all the times I saw his movies in the theater. I remember them being packed and, you know, exciting to see. But, you know, he doesn't necessarily make movies that last.
No.
But let's get into it, because there's so much to talk about. Rob, do you want to do the rundown for Stargate?
I sure do. So, it starts in ancient Egypt. And, you know, there's some ancient Egyptian people hanging out, and they see this light in the sky, and there's all this, like, sand that's being blown everywhere because it's the desert, and then they look up, and there's a big old triangle descending from heaven, and it sort of comes down like E.T.'s ship. It's not actually too dissimilar from E.T.'s ship.
Wait, does that... I don't remember that happening.
What? Oh! Well,
did you not watch the extended cut?
No.
Oh, JM.
oh, you missed out.
I watched
the
version that was free on Hoopla.
Well, you missed this whole part, which I think is now that I'm thinking about it, is totally integral to the movie.
Right.
But okay. So yeah, that happens, and then it cuts to ancient Egypt, but not that ancient. We're talking like 1928 ancient. Like, you know, like your great grandpa ancient, you know, and they are doing an excavation, and there's like a whole bunch of Egyptian people, and then there's like some British people who are in charge, and they brush off some stuff and they see something, and it looks kind of like, you know, a relief carving, but they're like, is it a fossil? And that's all we get. Oh, and there's also a little girl, of course, with a piece of jewelry, of course. Is this before Titanic or after?
This is that era. Oh, no, this is maybe right before.
Yeah, it was a few years before.
James Cameron owes somebody some money. Kind of.
Well, yeah, I guess when she's an old lady and she has the jewelry.
Though. Old ladies, jewelries, I think that counts.
Yeah. All right.
Okay. So that's all that happened sort of back then. Cut to the present. We have this guy. His name is Daniel Jackson. He's an Egyptologist, and he is giving this lecture about how the pharaohs couldn't have built the pyramids. And everybody is listening to this lecture all incredulous because everybody knows that, you know, they were just built, right? And everybody's asking him, okay, well, who built the pyramids then? Smarty pants, and he doesn't seem to know, so it's embarrassing. And this is James Spader. He's got long floppy hair going like all over his face, and he's got these like glasses, and he's like, he seems like he's just not meant for this world, you know?
Like, he looks like he should be recording Rubber Soul. He doesn't look like he should be lecturing about Egypt.
He looks like he should be recording a podcast. Excuse me.
Yeah.
It's very young. Yeah, he's baby James Spader. It's he's honestly just seeing his young face because we're so used to him looking old. At least I am. Like, he just, and so to see him so young, and he looks really young. Like, he's like, academics don't come like they take a while to make academics. Like, you have to study for a long time. So you're in your 30s.
Well,
yeah, you gotta sit on that.
He is a fraud. He is like widely dismissed.
Yeah. It was also weird to see him not playing an outward psychopath. It's like tricky. Like, sometimes the psychopath slips in there, you know? You get it, you know? Like, doesn't seem to associate with people very well, at least not like Earth people. But it's strange to see him, you know, being like this guy who's supposed to be kind of timid, but. Also, we have Kurt Russell, and when we open on him, he is just sitting in this child's bedroom with his baby blues all just almost glistening, and he's holding a gun because he is seems like he's about to do something desperate. And then somebody knocks on his door, and it's the army, and they tell him that they're reactivating him.
Yeah, they're like, you look like you're in good shape to come back to active service.
Oh, just sitting here.
Totally unnecessary plot point. Just absolutely unnecessary plot point that his like son is dead for whatever reason.
Well, his son. Well, I thought it was funny that like the army guys come in and he's in his son's room and he tucks the gun under the pillow.
Mm-hmm.
And then they leave and they're like, what happened to that guy? And the other one says, his son accidentally shot himself. Well, no wonder he kept his gun under the pillow. It's not a good place for it.
Yeah.
They try to pay that off later and it doesn't really work.
Yeah.
You can tell that this extended cut that I watched, I was like, wow, they're finding every scrap piece of footage to sell another.
Well,
DVD,
no, I think that's in the regular cut too. If I think I know what you're alluding to. But I do want to say that Kurt Russell like looks way cooler in this scene.
Yeah,
like he's got like the stubble and like kind of shaggy hair, and he looks hot. He looks like Snake Plissken, and then they completely ruin his hair.
Oh yeah, they like. I mean, they make it like a perfect square. It is like, I mean, it's almost like Guile from Street Fighter. Yeah. It's so angular.
That's what I thought.
It's very, like, everything that Emmerich does, it's very cliche. Like, everything is carved out in front of you. So, like, Will Smith is the, like, fast-talking, like, you know, black guy. That's, like, one character star of a Roland Emmerich film. And then Kurt Russell is, like, the dejected military man. Like, it's all just collection of stock characters. I mean, that's fine. I mean, on principle, that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. It's just... it's so funny to see them all collected in Roland Emmerich's movies. And it keeps happening. 2012 is the same way. Like, it's all just kind of familiar people that are sort of roped together.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's also, I mean, that's such like a trope of these action movies sort of at the time, like, you know, the Armageddons and the Rocks. And also, like, this movie has like a whole lot of other movies, like, I mean, maybe I'm just thinking about it because Kurt Russell's in it. It kind of feels like The Thing and Alien as well. Just they happen to go to, you know, space Egypt instead of, you know, being stuck in the thing.
Yeah.
But anyway, so basically they've gathered all these people at this military base because they have this thing, this, they don't know what it is. I mean, we don't know what it is at first, but it has all these symbols on it, and they need Daniel to translate these symbols because he is the most translatingist Egyptologist in the land. And so, you know, he goes in there, and Richard Kind is the guy who has been working on the thing so far. And man, talk about people looking young. It's weird to see him, you know, looking like a
looking exactly the same as he does now.
Yeah.
Yeah, he does not age whatsoever.
He's like, I will Paul say, Rudd, but you know, just already started up here.
I will say, like, I think my opinion of this movie would be way different if they just had it, if they just cut out the James Spader character and had this be an expedition led by Richard Kind. Yeah. Had everything happen the same, but it's Richard Kind.
Would be pretty hilarious, yeah.
Buried.
Excuse me. What are you doing?
It's not a coffin. For all time. Who the hell translated this?
I did.
Well, this should read, million years into the sky is Ra, sun god, sealed and buried for all time. This left door to heaven is... Stargate.
Oh yeah, I also forgot to mention that the general is one of the guys from Deadwood. I don't know if you...
Oh really?
Yeah. I can't remember his name, but he's great. His voice is great. But so instantly, Daniel is able to solve this thing that has been puzzling the scientists for years, presumably since 1928. And then instantly, they're just like, rev her up, let's go.
Moments later. Well, also, okay, this whole thing is funny to me because they get him to translate the thing and he doesn't know about the Stargate. They literally, like, he's giving a presentation on like a whiteboard and they're like, we better show him. And the whiteboard he was using retracts and was like a secret passage. But the dumbest part about that is like the whole thing that they were using him to get to is they couldn't like figure out what the like last symbol for to like activate the Stargate was, like what the last hieroglyphic should be. They'd figure out all the others, like they'd basically almost gotten there, but they couldn't. Well, first of all, it's dumb for so many reasons. One reason it's dumb is because it's literally just a pyramid, but one of them has a pyramid and two people on it and the other doesn't. I think am I wrong? I think so. Like, he was just like, hey, these two pyramids are the same, and they're like, oh my god.
He's got Holy it, this shit. Man.
But then also on top of that, like, it was just one symbol they were missing. Like, and there, I don't know how many there are on there, but if they had the sequence of all the others, couldn't they just spend like an hour and try it with each one?
You know, sometimes you just see need a second works? Set of eyes, you know?
No, but they don't need it. Like, if you had like a password and you knew that the last number was like between 1 and 7, you say, well, let's try it up to 1. Let's try it up to 2. Let's try it up to 3. Let's try it up to 4. You would just, like, you would be able to figure that out in an afternoon. Like, you don't need that guy.
Okay, Mr. Science. Go back to Harvard.
Yeah. You're pushing too hard, JM. You're going to break the movie.
No, only Daniel is special enough to do this because he's the person who has the inner truth. So...